Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am here with Kara Simon as a returning guest, registered dietitian, microbiome specialist. She has worked in GI health for over 10 years. To me, she is my favorite go-to when it comes to all things gut health and wellness. Welcome back, Kara. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me back on. I love when we get to sit here and chit chat.
I know, we totally geek out on talking about the gut and poop and stuff. It's great. It's the best.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's dive in. I have lots of questions and I know you have lots of answers. But let's talk about the gut microbiome. I know it's becoming a word that's, you know, common. It's, you know, 10 years ago, people didn't know what the gut microbiome was in general public. We did in the healthcare world, but it's becoming a more and more household term. What is the gut microbiome? Just explain it. Why is it a hot topic? What does it affect our gut microbiome? Why is it important to pay attention to it?
Yeah, I love this. I mean, I do. I think the research is really coming around. You know, over the last 10, 20 years, there's been such an exponential boom in the research related to the microbiome. And I think for some of us, it's a weird topic, right? I think of it as all these little bugs, you know, living within us. And that's really essentially what it is. And so we often use the terms microbiome and microbiota interchangeably. But this basically describes all these different microorganisms that live on and within us. And we have these different microbial communities, or what we call microbiomes, in different areas that extend beyond just our gut. So we have a skin microbiome, we have an eye microbiome, we're beginning to identify even a unique, distinct brain microbiome. And so when we think about the gut microbiome, this is really the largest and the most dense microbiome that exists within the human body. It's down towards that distal end of the colon. So it's a very large, bustling community of microorganisms. We have trillions of microbial cells, and it ranges anywhere, when we talk about the gut microbiome, anywhere from, you know, hundreds to thousands of different species that exist within us. And most of this is bacteria. So we often think of ourselves as a superorganism, or what's called a holobiont, which I just love that term, because we are essentially more microbial than we are human. And that's exciting, because that's given and lent itself to this area of research that's really starting to dive into how these microorganisms are impacting not just the health within the gut, but really the health beyond our gut. And that's really through this sort of gut organ communication pathway. And this is something that I work at a company called ResBiotics, something that we're very much focused on, not just in our product development, but our research, but a term that we've coined as the gut X axis. So it's really exciting for us to be able to dive into and learn not just, you know, how these bugs dictate health, how they're playing a role into different health outcomes, but really extending beyond just the health of the gut itself.
100%. And I love the gut everything access, right? The gut brain access. And I did a podcast recently with talking about the nose and the mouth microbiome that's directly related to the gut. But even more so right now, it's May, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, the gut brain access. Like, I love that you just were talking about, we're actually seeing now a flora within the brain. Let's talk about that. You know, how does what is happening in the gut have anything to do with what is going on in the brain?
Well, and so that's what's really exciting about this area of research now, is we have these different communication pathways. It's this bi-directional communication system where what's happening in the gut is impacting everything beyond. So what's happening in the gut impacts our brain, but also what's going on in the brain, instability in the brain, begins to impact what's going on in the gut. And so when we think about the brain, we know that there's various neurotransmitters like serotonin and GABA that are produced within the gut microbiome. We know that depending on stress and the amount of stress that we're dealing with, that this starts to impact what's known as the HPA axis, that negative feedback loop that occurs that basically tells us to, hey, chill out, everything is okay. And we know that when we're in this state of, excess stress or what we call chronic stress, that this is essentially a maladaptive process. It keeps our body in an acute stress phase. And what research has really began to uncover is that this excessive cortisol production, our stress hormone, this excessive production actually begins to worsen and contribute to dysbiosis, so imbalance within the microbiome, which drives leaky gut, hyperintestinal permeability, where now we start to see bacteria and bacterial toxins, a very well-known toxin known as lipopolysaccharide, which can get into systemic circulation and start to drive more brain inflammation. LPS can cross the blood-brain barrier, can activate what's known as our microglial cells. These are the immune cells within the brain, and this starts to promote inflammation. So we start to see this full circle. And then that inflammation in the brain or that neuroinflammatory process that worsens depression, worsens anxiety, worsens our circadian rhythm, well, now you start to worsen dysbiosis and imbalance, you start to impact those neurotransmitters. And so we just see this sort of constant system and this constant loop.
Absolutely. And it's like, I actually just did a talk yesterday. It was for Mental Health Awareness Month, and it was a corporate lunch and learn. And we were just discussing, a lot about the gut-brain axis and the things that actually affect our gut flora. Because a lot of people were kind of wowed by the things that I was talking about. We were talking about oxidative stressors and how there's so many different factors that we don't even think about in daily life that affect the flora, the gut microbiome that lead to this imbalance or leaky gut. So talk about, let's dive into that a little bit. Like, let's talk about oxidative stressors and stress itself, whether it's physical or emotional, or the different products we use, air, water, like all these things. Like, let's talk about that for a hot minute. What are some of the things that you see in your world that are the main common disruptors of these fun little critters in our belly?
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly what they are, is microbiome disruptors, or what's been termed as this exposome. And I really like to pull it back. I think from a simplistic standpoint, we think of the microbiome as almost the foundation to our home. I've used this analogy a lot. I think it's a really nice way to think of how impactful the gut microbiome is, because think about your home. If you've found the most perfect, big, beautiful home. It's got everything you've ever wanted. We wait patiently for that inspection report to come back. Well, if there's cracks in your foundation, we may not buy that home because now your home is not so stable. That home has lost resiliency. It's the same thing in the microbiome, that as we start to disrupt this natural, harmonious balance through these microbiome disruptors, or the winds and the earthquakes, the hurricanes that can disrupt our structure, that we start to see this loss of resiliency. And so what are some of the microbiome disruptors or external factors? Well, obviously your chronic stress, obviously the diet. Our diet is probably one of the biggest modulators of the gut microbiome. The types of foods we're choosing, the foods that we're not incorporating enough of, like those fibrous foods, those prebiotics, those microbiota accessible carbohydrates that feed the good microbes within the gut microbiome. But even external factors like our environment. So one thing we're looking at and study quite a bit at ResBiotic is this gut-lung axis, something we don't really think about the microbiome impacting, which is our respiratory health. So think of all the things we're breathing in. We take more than 20,000 breaths a day. So pollutants and smoke. I live in Colorado. We've dealt with a ton of wildfire smoke. I mean, there's been summers where I felt like we couldn't even be outside because the smoke was so thick. So all these things that are really out of our ability to control, and I don't want to be all doom and gloom because it can be a little depressing if we think about the water we're drinking and the smells. I mean, I try not to inundate myself with that because we're human and we're living within this, modern world. But what's exciting is that there's actually things we can do to try to decrease the impact that these microbiome disruptors have on the gut microbiome. And that's what we really think about as far as building resiliency. And really, and this is what's exciting about the microbiome space, is not just identifying, certain foods and dietary modifications that we can take, but identifying specific strains, utilizing specific microbiome tools that not just help alleviate these targeted systems or help alleviate symptoms related, to the gut microbiome be disrupted, but we can actually help to start to build and restore that resilience.
Absolutely. And I love the way that you just put that because, I always feel like that. I said that when I brought my slide up yesterday, and I'm like, okay, here's the list, and we start talking about the things that can disrupt. And it's like, remember Debbie Downer? And it's like, womp, womp, womp. It's like,
Totally.
and you hate being like that. It just is like, okay, well, then what am I supposed to eat? What am I supposed to do? The air is not good. The water is not good. Everything's blah, and it's like we want to try to rein it in and say, okay, yes, we can't live in a bubble. I always tell my clients, live by the 80-20 rule, right? We're trying our best. We're making good choices. Avoidance is great, but there's a lot of things we can't avoid. And then really just making good choices on how do we give our bodies the best things we can handle. So whether it's making nutrition choices or making supplement choices that include different probiotics to help balance out not just the gut, but the other flaws in our body, and how to keep ourselves healthy and be proactive, because we can make sure our drainage is open and we can make sure we're getting rid of the toxins. We can't stop them all from coming in, but we can absolutely balance the gut and we can get them out. So,
And making it less impactful, where you can follow the 80-20 rule. We live in a day and age where people are completely out of balance, where the microbiomes are really disrupted. And so we can't even tolerate that 20% of what's impacting our, as I put it, the overall bucket. And so all these things that we do that we absolutely can control, from, incorporating deep breathing and supporting our nervous system, to making these dietary changes, incorporating certain types of supplements in, that means that 80% of the time that you're, following things, doing it well, the other 20% isn't going to impact that overall resiliency. And so that's where there's power.
I love that. And it makes it attainable for people. It makes people feel like, okay, I can do this. This is not, it's not just doom and gloom. It's like, okay, I can make good choices. I can get the right products. I can do this, and we can live a healthy life for both somebody and their family, and, keeping it all in balance. So, in general, talk about ResBiotics products. So you were talking about the lung microbiome. I want to learn more about that because this is like new to me. I know I see a lot of people come to me with different issues, and a lot of times it stems from leaky gut, or it comes from like different histamine releases, mast cell issues, which all kind of tie back to the gut. So
Absolutely.
talk a little bit about this. Like, are there products that specifically help? Are there strains that specifically help with bacteria? And then in general, like just in general strains, like just talk about the importance of that, like how different strains work on different things in the body.
So yeah, ResBiotic, we're a, newer microbiome startup biotech company. We're founded by physicians and doctors and scientists that have been in this space and really looking at these unique microbiome modulators that are very specific and targeted. And so what's so unique about our company is that we basically utilize drug level development, scientific rigor to back all of the supplements that we're creating. We do extensive preclinical R&D research. This includes different in vitro, human cellular models, in vivo models. We do different organoid models. So basically, the strains that we are cultivating and that we are bringing to market, we're putting them into these models to figure out what is their targeted effect. And this is very much how drug development goes about, especially in the live biotherapeutic world. So we're taking that same level of rigor and we're doing all of these sort of in vitro, these human cellular models, and then we follow everything up with a human clinical trial because we want to know that what we're putting into the capsule and all these different blends we're using, and we'll talk about the different ones, that they're actually having an efficacious and they're having that targeted effect and benefit that we want it to have. And so I really appreciate that as someone who, as a registered dietitian, as someone who really practices and uses evidence to really guide a lot of my clinical care, it's exciting to see companies like ResBiotic putting in this level of science and data to really make sure that we're providing precision innovations that are targeting these very specific systems that are being impacted by the gut microbiome. And so one of the first products we developed, our ResB Lung Support Probiotic, this is a specific blend of live probiotic strains, respiratory specific strains, and then we combine it with an herbal blend to basically target respiratory function. And so when we looked at this and we've done multiple clinical trials on this probiotic, we're basically making sure that it's having that targeted effect and impacting, because we know that now disruptions in the gut microbiome have that bi-directional communication with what's going on within the lungs. And so we don't, a lot of us don't think about respiratory health being impacted by the microbiome, but we have what's known as the gut-lung axis. And so as we start to see leaky gut, as we start to, increase intestinal permeability, bacteria, bacterial toxins, cytokines, so inflammatory signals, different immune signals can now target the lungs directly and can impact everything from lung function capacity to respiratory function, even mucus production and all of these things. And so that's what we've been looking at in our respiratory or our lung specific probiotic. So we have three different targeted strains in our RESB, our lung support probiotic. And so we combine three different strains, an L. plantarum strain, an L. acidophilus strain. So RSB11, which again, all these, when we think about species and strain, just to kind of take us back to biology class, species, I like to use the analogy, even though it's not 100% correct, but think of us as Homo sapiens, right? You and I are both Homo sapiens. But when you get down to that strain level, you, Courtney, and me, Cara, we're very different, right? We look different, we act different, we have different personalities, our DNA, everything else is different. And so that's when we look at strains. So we use an L. plantarum RSB11 strain. That's our unique strain, our proprietary strain, that functions very differently than a different L. plantarum strain. So we have an L. plantarum RSB11, an L. acidophilus RSB12, and a L. rhamnosus RSB13. So again, our own proprietary strains that, when put into these different models and when studied in clinical trial, have respiratory specific function to support overall respiratory wellness. We also combine within these strains, we use three different Ayurvedic herbs. We have vesaka, holy basil, and turmeric. So these also support antioxidant production, improve healthy immune responses, but also have respiratory specific function. So in our clinical trials, we've actually combined, right? We look at the finished product, which for me is so important because we're not just looking at what the strains are doing or what the herbal blend's doing, although we do that in those cellular or in vitro models. But then we look at what happens when you combine it together. And that's what our clinical trials do. It's a finished product research. And we found that within these various clinical trials we've done in different conditions. So we've looked at allergy and asthma and COPD. We found that we're not only supporting improved lung function capacity and improving respiratory wellness, cough reduction, ease of breathing. We see promotion of short chain fatty acids, which are really important in promoting those healthy immune responses. We are seeing improvements in lung tissue integrity. So we look at something called CRP, which is C-reactive protein. A lot of us are very familiar with that. It's a very prominent, inflammatory biomarker. But we also look at what's called MMP9, which is a specific enzyme that's related to tissue degradation or the breakdown of tissues in various parts of the body. And so we see a downregulation of MMP9, which is showing that we're seeing improved tissue integrity. And then we also see compatibility, which to me is one of the other really important parts of doing clinical trials on the finished product. One thing that's been identified, which I find really unique and interesting, and really challenges a lot of the probiotics on the market, is when you throw a whole bunch of strains, a whole bunch of different spe you know, a whole bunch of different probiotics into a capsule, what's happening together, right? Individually, these strains have benefits and have important functions, but there have been studies to show that as you combine these strains together, that they actually lose efficacy because they're competing for in for same for those same niches or those same spaces, or they're competing for nutrients. And so this is why I challenge, companies, and what I love so much about ResBiotic is we not only do these finished product research in vitro and in vivo models, but then we're following everything up with human clinical trials to make sure that we're seeing the same benefits in humans and not just in the lab. So it's exciting to see that as we're combining, these strains, we're combining bioactives, that we're getting this very targeted improvement to the lung, which we know is so important, especially in the day and age that we're dealing with, our air quality, our pollution, from performance to people struggling with even long COVID and beyond. So it's really exciting, and it's exciting to work kind of in this very precision and targeted space.
Yes, and that was basically as you were going through, and I'm thinking, well, who's a candidate for this? And as I'm thinking of all the people and all of the different types of clients in my head, hey, who am I thinking of that could use this? There's really so many people that could benefit from this, from anybody that has any kind of lung disease, any kind of breathing disorder, like you just said, long COVID, maybe any past, current, potential smokers, people who are
Absolutely.
trying to like heal the lungs from, years of damage, even down to, I'm thinking of like mast cell reaction, where there's people that just have issues, that react to different food sensitivities. This time of year, we're around here, everything is blooming and everybody's allergies are terrible. Would they be a candidate for this if they're, outside the pollen, everything's covered in the green? Are these people that could benefit from this as well?
Absolutely. And we've done multiple clinical trials. We've looked at COPD. We've done trials in allergy and asthma. We've also done clinical trials in previous smokers. And so what's really fascinating that we've seen is what people who have asthma, people who have COPD, we know smoking is one of the biggest microbiome modulators or disruptors out there, that there are distinct microbial profiles or signatures. So someone who suffers from asthma naturally has higher proteobacteria, which is the phyla where most of your LPS containing bacteria, your pathogenic bacteria, lipopolysaccharide, again being an endotoxin that's contained on the outer cell membrane of your gram-negative bacteria, but naturally again can circulate at healthy levels. But if there's leaky gut, if there's intestinal permeability, this is an endotoxin that if it gets into systemic circulation, we start to see inflammation and immune activation in various parts of the body. So what's unique, when we look at microbial profiles of people with asthma, people who have COPD, smokers, they have high levels of LPS, they have, higher pathogenic bacteria, they have lower microbial diversity, they have a loss of short-chain fatty acid production. And so in one of our clinical trials that we looked at in previous smokers versus healthy cohort, we saw that distinct microbial profile, and we saw improvements in people who were smokers, which is exciting because people who are healthy, this is a targeted probiotic, right? Yeah, they're probably going to get benefit because these naturally promote short-chain fatty acid production and all of that. But we actually saw the benefit within these people who had disrupted microbiomes, which is what we want to see. We want to see that we're actually improving the microbial state, these communities, these outputs of the microbiome that we know can benefit our health.
Absolutely. And kind of what's running from in my brain as, maybe it's my pharmacist brain, maybe it's the functional medicine part of my brain, but like looking at it as gut absorption, if people are having, if had they have gut permeability for, whatever reason, and they're coming to help with, whatever is going on, who would be a good candidate to add this on? Like, are there other probiotics to start with before adding this on? Or is this a good one to start with that would help with, gut permeability as well? Would it help? Would it like dually function for, GI function as well as, lung function?
And this is where I think the space is exciting. And when you're a practitioner who's focused on root cause medicine and getting down to the root cause, this is where we have to personalize and individualize our interventions for our patients. So absolutely, I think this is a perfect thing to start with. We have a really cool precision prebiotic, ResG Prebeat Energy Prebiotic. It's a resistant starch. So this is a digestively friendly prebiotic. The problem with prebiotics, which is your food for your friendly bacteria, right? It's the fertilizer for growth. The problem is these tend to be more digestively disruptive foods and or supplements. So if you have a loss of bifidobacterium or ruminococcus species, these species that are known to break down these fibers, then that's why a lot of people will say things like, oh, well, I started eating more fibrous foods and I feel worse. My body doesn't tolerate fiber. No, it's often because we're lacking these essential species. So what's unique about our prebiotic is that we have a digestively friendly resistant starch that's known to feed beneficial bacteria like Akkermansia and bifidobacteria. These are often missing or often low in a lot of people's microbiomes. And we have to feed those bacteria to encourage the growth and to encourage survival. Most probiotics, you know, are transient. You're taking probiotics to get the targeted benefit. It's really the diet and the prebiotics that truly help to shape that microbial and GI environment. So I often think about combining not just these probiotics that are providing these targeted effects, but really combining it with our prebiotic so that you're also reshaping and encouraging a healthier GI environment, which is improving diversity, improving gut barrier integrity, improving growth of these beneficial bacteria. Now, in this prebiotic, we also add in beetroot extract, so nitric oxide production, which we know is really important from gut health to performance to stamina to mitochondrial health. And then we also add in methylated B12, so giving that body that energy that we want without needing caffeine. So it's a really nice enhancement. But yes, taking these probiotics, you're going to get microbiome modulation. You're going to really get that targeted benefit. And of course, you're going to get short chain fatty acid production, which has far-reaching benefits, you know, throughout the entire body.
That's amazing. And I think targeted products are great. And even with short chain fatty acids, I know sometimes, you know, trying to give them in the supplement form is not always best to do. It's better to support it. I don't know, in your opinion, it's better to support it with the bacteria that supports the growth and production of your natural ability to do so versus taking in
Yeah,
short.
I mean, I see again, this is individualized and personalization. I see a benefit for both. When you take short chain fatty acids, so butyrate, which is a very common supplement in the market, you're taking to get that targeted benefit of butyrate, which could be anything from, you know, helping with, say, diarrhea. You know, I used to work a lot in GI, and so I would work with IBD patients, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's patients that are in flares, and you're really doing a lot initially to help quell or to help to calm and dampen, you know, some of those inflammatory symptoms. So when you take butyrate, you're absolutely going to take something that's more targeted, but you are not su necessarily supporting the microbial environment. You're not doing anything that's promoting the growth of the beneficial bacteria to produce butyrate. So again, very targeted in it. And so I see a place for that. I definitely see a space where it can be utilized, but it's, in my opinion, and just like, you know, a lot of the world we're living in, it's not this or that. It's setting these very, you know, unique protocols in place that you're looking at not just supporting symptoms, because we want our patients to feel better. And in fact, as a practitioner, I know you can agree to this, that oftentimes if we do things and people aren't feeling better, they start to lose trust or they start to lose motivation. So I often like doing things initially to help calm symptoms, to help negate, you know, manage those symptoms, while simultaneously doing things that's getting to the root of really fixing the problem. So, can you take butyrate and then also support with a really good prebiotic? For sure. They're not contraindicated. Can you take butyrate and also give probiotics that are helping to promote short chain? Of course, because you want to do things that are actually going to modulate the microbiome.
Got you. Well, resbiotic products sound absolutely amazing in quality. And that's the last thing I want to touch base on, because this is this thing that I preach the most that I have my entire career as a pharmacist. And it just builds on every day, every year, every minute is the quality of products, the source of products. You know, just you speaking about the research and the trials that are going into things, you know, I think the bare minimum is done on that in a lot of traditional companies that we see in big box pharmacies, or, you know, people trying to shop for supplements on Amazon. Please do not shop for supplements on Amazon. That's a whole nother topic for another day. But people, you know, what people will do to make money to counterfeit supplements and whatnot. But especially when it comes to probiotics, and we're looking at actual cultures and live cultures. So, you know, just the last thing to touch base on is like the importance of quality and sourcing of products, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it says right on the bottle of all these products, they're not regulated by anybody. You want to go with a company that stands by their products, that does the clinical trials, that does the third party testing, that does all of the things to say we're backing this product because it really truly works, you know?
Absolutely. And I think consumers are becoming more savvy. Practitioners need to be savvy in this as well, because the landscape of sort of supplements, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot to choose through. It's hard to start to break through that noise. I will say though, like Amazon, if you are looking at Amazon, just make sure that it's a qualified seller, meaning the company is hosting it. But the world of Amazon has definitely changed a lot of the tone, and this is why it's important that we obviously seek out our healthcare practitioner, that they're knowledgeable. I encourage, as a patient or a consumer, if you learn of a company, bring it to your practitioner so they can become educated. They can look into the company and ask those very, niche and specific questions. But absolutely, things need to be third-party tested. It should say, this is something we really stand by, is really showing not just the certifications that we go through to make sure that we're, providing top quality products. But we make sure we do all third-party testing. Obviously, we're doing multiple steps of clinical validation when it comes to the supplement as a whole. And I always like to say we go beyond using research-backed ingredients, that we're actually researching the finished product. And that is where I really start to challenge companies, challenge providers and consumers, is to really ask about the studies associated with the products. Because again, do ingredients, do probiotics, do different things start to compete? Absolutely. How do we know that what's in that supplement has what it says it has? This is where third-party testing comes in. And so we have a lot of that available, and it's challenging, I think, for some companies to do that. It's expensive, it takes longer when it comes to product development, but this really should be the standard of supplements, and because we're not FDA regulated, of course. And this is why supplements get created, because to go the drug route, to go into developing a new drug, is years and years and years. It's extremely expensive. You may never actually come to market. So this is a way to get things to consumers that are actually beneficial, that are impactful, that are almost as efficacious as a drug, but can get it into the hands. But we want to make sure that companies are going through that same level of rigor. And so I'm really excited to be a part of a company that stands by that, that not just does the research, but has multiple third-party, quality checks. We are utilizing all of our own proprietary ingredients, our own proprietary strains. And so we are really controlling the process from A to Z. We are vertically integrated, and that's exciting, because I know that when this gets into the hands of the provider or the patient, that they're actually going to see those benefits.
I love it. And that's, what I stand for as a practitioner, and nothing less. It's the most important part of it. You can give somebody anything, but if you don't know the source and it's got other garbage in it, that can do more harm than help. So I'm super excited for your new journey at
Thank
ResBiotics.
you.
I'm excited to start using the products with my clients to follow. I know you're going to be back on and on again on the podcast, because I know there's so many. I just want to talk about each individual product and just really get the information out there. So I thank you so much for being on today and for your information. As always, it's so much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me. I love chatting with you. It's exciting to be able to bring this to your listeners, because it is a very exciting topic and we're learning so much more every day.
True story.
Thank
All right, girl, have a wonderful day.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a five-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.